All right, good evening, everyone. This is the Thursday, March 1st meeting of the Citizens Rate Review Committee. And for our members of the public, in the back, on the back table, there's both an agenda and then a public comment form. So if you would like to make comment, please fill that out and bring it up, and we will get to that. On the agenda, we'll start with first a presentation from the staff and our consultant. This is actually our 8th meeting on the subject. So at this point, we are getting to the point where we have seen most of this data, so this is really for the public more than for us. And what I think I might do is, since just to get started, maybe we will introduce the members of the committee so you know who it is that's here trying to determine these rates. So why don't we start with you, Bill? Why don't you tell us? Yeah, I'm doing that right now, yeah. So Bill, why don't you start and tell us what you do when you're not doing Citizens Rate Review and how long you've been in Newburgh, that kind of thing.
Bill Rourke, I've been in Newburgh for 50 plus years now. I'm retired and live at Friendsview Retirement Community.
All right, Sarah.
My name is Sarah Greider. I've lived in Newburgh 10 years. I'm an educational assistant at Newburgh High School in the special ed department.
Nick.
My name is Nick Maurice. I've been in Newburgh probably about 10 years. My wife would know better than I. I'm a mechanic down at the local shop, Steve's Automotive, and been on this committee for 2 years now.
Yep. Holly.
Hi, I'm Holly Bradford, and I have been in Newburgh for 30 plus years, and I work for Providence Home Services.
Okay. Mayor Andrews.
Bob Andrews, the Newburgh mayor. Been here as mayor. I'm in my 12th year, and I sit ex officio on the commission.
And then go ahead, Jay.
Hi, Jay Harris, a Newburgh Public Works Director. I've been employed at the city for 6 years now. I started here as the city engineer, and a lot of these projects that you've seen a lot of the expenditures in these systems are capital improvement projects, which I work on with our city engineer, and I got some feedback going on.
Yeah, looks like Caleb just went to find it.
I'm Matt Zook, I'm the finance director. I've been here for 3 years, and this is my second Citizens Rate Review committee cycle, so.
Okay, and Deb?
Deb Gallardi, Gallardi Rothstein Group. I'm the consultant that helps the city on the rate update, and I specialize in water and wastewater, stormwater, general infrastructure financing. My office is in Portland.
All right, and what about you, Caleb?
Caleb Bifford, Assistant Finance Director for the City of Newburgh. I've been with the city for about 9.5 years. Lived in Newburgh I live in Dundee now, but been in the area for about 12 years or something.
Okay. And Marilyn, if we could put you on the spot, just introduce yourself and tell us what you do when you're not doing Citizens Rate Review Committee stuff.
I'm Marilyn Van Grensven, and I own a bakery here in Newburgh called Lucky Dutch, and I've been a citizen of Newburgh for over 40 years.
And I think that leaves me. So I'm Rick Rogers. My day job, I work for Habitat for Humanity, and I've been here just shy of 20 years. So that is us. All right. Does that serve as a roll call? Okay. All right. Yep. We have one absentee. All right. Okay, so I think we're ready for the presentation. And again, folks, if you do have public comments, fill out the forms and bring them up, and we'll go from there. Otherwise, Deb, are you on? Or Matt? Okay, thank you.
Deb Gallardi. Okay, let me just get... We might be out of battery. We're live. Okay.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. So As was mentioned, this is review for the committee, but I'll do a general overview for our audience tonight, and it'll still be fairly high level, so if you have, but if you have questions, we can get into that when we get into the discussion. So I'll just touch on the rate setting process generally. What drives a lot of these rate increases are the need for the investment in the system, which we refer to as the capital requirements. We'll get into the preliminary recommendations that have been developed over the course of many meetings, and look at what impact that has on a typical residential customer bill. So when we go through this process every 2 years with the committee, there are really three primary components. The first component is the development of the financial plan. It's like what you would do at your home or your business, where you project out what your expenses are. For in this case, we do this for each of the utility systems separately. We look at what revenue is coming in based on the current rates and any other external sources. We compare revenue to expenses, determine if a change is needed. The second part of the process is what we call the cost of service process. So as the little figure there shows, which piece of the pie everybody gets. And in utility rate making, we don't set individual rates, we set rates by customer class. So the residential customer class gets a different rate than the multifamily customer class, than the commercial class. So that's that process. We follow industry standard practices set by American Water Works Association, Water Environment Federation, et cetera. The last piece then is to design the rates. That's the rate schedule, which I believe was published, that shows that each rate component, and we'll talk a little bit more about that when we get there. So those are the three components. We do that for each system: water, wastewater, sometimes referred to as sewer, stormwater, and the fourth one was added this time, the transportation system or the street system. Just to talk a little bit more specifically about the financial plan development, as I mentioned, it is projecting out the sources of funds, which for a utility system generally is the sales revenue. So the bills that we all pay as users of the system goes to, that's the primary source of revenue, because these are enterprise funds, meaning that it's not, they are not supported by general taxes of the city. Then there are some fees like systems development charges or SDCs that go to fund specific types of capital improvements, in this case for future growth. Those are the capacity type fees. And then there's interest income and just other miscellaneous fees for services provided. The expenses are things like staffing, the materials and services required to run the system, chemicals to clean the water, utilities to run the pumps and various components of treatment and other processes, and just ongoing repair and maintenance. As I mentioned, often what drives the need for rate increases, in addition to just general inflation that any sort of business would experience, is the need to reinvest in the system, to repair, replace, and address regulatory requirements by the federal government and in some cases the state. Then there are just the need to, like you would have a rainy day fund with your home or business, there is a need to maintain some level of reserves for unanticipated expenses or shortfalls in revenue, and to plan for the future and to continue to be able to smooth rate increases, which has been a policy of the city and of this committee for many years. So the drivers, oftentimes, you know, there are external factors, as I said, just economic conditions, general price inflation, master planning. The city does every 5 years or so a new master plan that where the engineers look in detail at the system to determine what types of improvements are most critical to meeting the regulatory and replacement needs. And certainly the city budget process feeds into this in terms of establishing the operating costs, operation and maintenance costs, but also things like some of the indirect costs that the utilities share in, some of the general city services that the utilities benefit from and share some of those costs. As I mentioned, the service charges are the primary source of revenue, and those fluctuate from year to year based generally on customer growth and water use. So, and water use is a determinant, that's how you're charged in terms of both your wastewater and your water. Wastewater is charged for residential customers based on the winter average use, because that's a good indication of what's returning into the system. Water use is billed based on your monthly use. And because that fluctuates due to weather and other things, and conservation, as people implement conservation measures, put in more water efficient plumbing fixtures, there's been a general decline in consumption. So all those things are taken into account when we look at this. And then the systems development charges, which are a key funding component for capital improvements. And that is driven very much on based on what kind of development is happening in the city. So in terms of looking at this rate cycle, some of the things that worked in favor of moderating rate increases was that there has been some customer growth, and that's been relatively steady. Consumption has been fairly stable. We've had some drier, warmer weather. And in the future, there's some opportunity potentially to refinance the debt. The city is always looking at ways to minimize borrowing costs, because many of the capital improvements to the system are done in very large, very expensive increments, because that's the most efficient way to build things. It requires borrowing money and paying that back over time. So with the sewer, the wastewater treatment plant improvements, most recently the city issued debt or got loans from the state, very favorable borrowing conditions. Some of the debt is older and was borrowed at a time when interest rates were higher, and so it's a fairly routine process to look at that debt to see at what point does it make sense to refinance, pay off the existing, and borrow at more favorable rates. So hopefully that will continue. There have been past rate increases that were more significant to build reserves so that more cash funding could be done for all of the utility systems, and so that the rate increases could be smooth, even though the need to invest in the system kind of fluctuates from year to year. So I think compared to some of the rate cycles in the past, there were very favorable conditions in terms of all of these factors. Of course, there are also demands on the system and the revenues. Like all utilities all across the country, there is a huge need to replace aging infrastructure. We as an industry have not kept pace with the need to ongoing repair replacement. Water lines can sit in the ground for, 70, 80 years. At a certain point, they need to be replaced. And the sewer lines, in particular, if they stay in the ground too long, then they start to leak. That causes problems downstream at the treatment plant. You get more volume of water than you can handle. So there's, and we refer to that as infiltration and inflow, and that's a significant problem here in the Northwest generally, and the city has a large investment to address that problem, and just ongoing system reliability issues. So there are a number of factors which continue to put to require that rates be adjusted to address all of these needs. Some of the key capital improvements by each for each system, for the water, and I don't have my glasses, so I have to look at my sheet here, we're basically looking at anywhere from $2 to $4 million a year in investment under the current plan. Some of the key projects address redundancy in the water supply, and if anybody has any more specific questions, I will let city staff answer those, but I can just point out that there's extensions to the system that are included, new pump stations, replacements of pipe, and other types of facilities. So the capital investment over this five-year period shown is about $15 million. It's a significant amount of money. Similarly, on the wastewater side, the improvements there are anywhere from $1.5 million to $4 million per year. Improvements to address infiltration and inflow, as I mentioned, pump station improvements, some improvements at the treatment plant, though there was a very recent, very large expansion and replacement that occurred at the treatment plant. So it's more collection system type improvements going forward in this part of the plan. For stormwater, there are upgrades to the drainage system. There are improvements needed to address water quality issues and also just general maintenance type facilities. Here, the capital improvements are significantly lower for that system, about $2.3 million over this 4 year period that's shown, so about $500,000 average per year. So the committee looked at the capital improvement plans, and in some cases there were some adjustment to the plans to stay within to moderate the rate increases. The next I'm going to show a series of graphs for each system, one graph per system, that shows the bars of different colors represent different cost categories. So you have personnel costs are shown in the green in tiny print. We've got materials and services and capital transfers in the orange bars up at the top. So this just shows, and you can see that the costs for the systems do fluctuate a bit based on what is being funded in terms of capital, debt, and all of the other components. So the red is the recommended rate, is the needed rate increase to manage both the expenses that are projected in the bars, as well as maintain an adequate fund balance or reserve at the end of the period. So you can see the blue line, which does descend pretty steeply over this period. That is because the expenses exceed the revenues, as you can tell by the bars, in most of the years, in fact. So in order to moderate the rate increase, you have to take money out of reserve. So you're basically spending out of your what you have saved up and have in the bank. And there's a limit to how far you want to draw down that line, and the committee felt that the 4% was basically represented that limit. Any lower would put the city and the system in too vulnerable a position in terms of the finances. For the sewer system, the recommended increase is 3.5%, which is actually this year below the inflationary, the consumer price index, I think, which was about 4.2%, right? So you can see in this case, again, we have the blue line representing the reserves, same sort of thing where we are holding down the rate increase by drawing down funds that have been saved in prior rate cycles. And there's also a bit of a moderation in the capital expenses for this period. So a slightly lower rate increase, but continuing to spend some of the reserves to meet the needs of the system that are projected. For stormwater, the percentage increase is significantly higher, but we're dealing here with a rates which are much, much lower. So when we get to the bills, you'll see that a 9% increase for stormwater is less significant than a 3.5% increase for sewer. So, and here you can see at the bottom the blue line, which is the reserves, being drawn down to a very low level, much lower than the other systems. This is because this utility is still relatively new, and the city has been implementing rate increases to address the growing regulatory and replacement needs of this system. And so in this, the projections in this period are really to increase the rates to be able to afford the capital and not have to incur any debt. And but a little bit of drawing down of the reserves to meet the immediate needs, and then just kind of status quo from there. The last system was the transportation system, and it specifically the committee looked at the transportation utility fee that was implemented in September of 2017. No rate increase is recommended here. That is a relatively new fee, and even though the ordinance does provide for the opportunity to increase based on inflation or other factors, the committee is not recommending that as part of this cycle an increase be implemented. This fee is specifically to fund pavement preservation, which is shown as part of which is included in those orange bars. And the difference between the blue line and the red line is the transportation utility fee. The street system, unlike the other systems, does receive tax-supported revenues like gas taxes, and that's what goes to fund the other parts of the needs for that system. The transportation utility fee is specifically for capital related to preservation, and the opinion was that that those funds are sufficient to meet the projects that have been identified as needed as most critical during this period. So this table then summarizes the various fees that are on the municipal services statement and the percentage increases for water, sewer, and stormwater for the 2 years for which the committee looks at rates. So for this the next increase would be on January 1st of 2019 and then January of 2020. As I mentioned, 4% per year for water, which is just under inflation, 3.5% for sewer, 9% for storm. No increase for the TUF, or transportation utility fee, so that would remain for a residential customer at $4.99 over the period. Then there is a public safety fee and a communication fee. Also, those were not part of the committee's discussion. So you can see that the increases from water, sewer, and storm at the bottom line difference is about $5 per month each year, which is about about a 4% overall increase in the bill for a residential customer. This chart shows the comparison of the city's fees, and that's just water, wastewater, storm. It doesn't include the other ones. Okay. So in red, second from the right, is the bill for a Newburgh customer, which is obviously on the higher end of the comparison that's shown here. This is for a typical usage level. So some of the factors that contribute to why the bills are high, and it's particularly the wastewater bills that are on the upper end of the comparison scale here, is that most of the cities that are shown in the comparison are receive service from a regional system. So there are economies of scale when several different cities discharge to one treatment plant. In the city's case, they have a treatment plant for the city exclusively. And so that is definitely a factor in this. Most of of those other communities are part of regional systems, and so probably pay a slightly lower cost per unit. Also, as I mentioned, the infiltration and inflow investment that's needed is significant, and that definitely contributes to the cost. Other cities also have that, though some of the cities on the comparison are on the eastern side of the Cascades, which don't have infiltration and inflow problems in different soil, different precipitation, all of that. The wastewater system also, I believe, is probably experiencing right now its highest debt burden that probably you ever will, because of this recent expansion. So they're just beyond our planning window. The debt, some of the existing debt, will start to drop off. And so, but in this period, you just took on a lot of new debt to do the recent expansion. While it was at very favorable borrowing terms, that investment needed to be made before some of the existing debt dropped off. So in the future, your rates are likely to go up significantly less than a lot of the other cities that are on that comparison. Then there are policies, again, that differ by city. So there's a franchise fee, for example, that's charged to the utilities based on the revenue that they collect. And that franchise fee, while pretty standard practice, can vary. So for Newburgh, it's 5%. Other cities, it might be lower, or in the case of a regional system, there might not be that sort of franchise fee. And for example, McMinnville currently doesn't have a franchise fee that it charges the utilities. There's also some differences in the public versus private operation. For example, the city of Wilsonville has a contract operator that operates its water system. So there are a lot of different factors that go into the why the rates vary, and in particular, why your wastewater rates at this point in time are on the upper end of the scale. But as I mentioned, I do believe that in the future, yours, and we've seen this, I mean, we've even seen that your percentage increases have been below what we're seeing nationally and even in the region in terms of annual forecasted out increases. So that's my presentation, and I'll turn it back over to you, Mr. Chair.
All right. With that, I believe we have moved into the public testimony section of the evening. If anyone has comments, I have not received any forms as yet. Caleb or Matt, have we received any written public comments? No?
No.
Okay. Anyone? All right. I see no No public comments, so we'll move on. I will go ahead and close the public testimony section of the evening. And then any final comments from staff or Deb? Okay, all right. Hearing now, at this point, we can deliberate now further if we would like. One thing that Matt did mention is we've got on our calendar a March 15th meeting, but he also mentioned, and that is merely for our final deliberation. So he also suggested, since it's now 7 o'clock, that we could, if you felt comfortable, deliberate now. And probably not have to have that March 15th meeting, is what I understand, Matt, right? Okay. All right. What do you feel? What do you think? Good? Okay. All right, Bill?
I'm willing to sacrifice a meeting to continue tonight.
I'm sure you are. All right. With that, why don't we start with a motion, and then we can deliberate from there, if someone would like to make a motion. Sarah, it's all you.
Sarah Greider, I move that we start deliberations tonight and eliminate the March 15th meeting.
Okay, second?
Second.
Second by Bill. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none, the March 15th meeting has been canceled then. And so we can move into deliberation at this point. We could also use a motion. We can do it either individually or collectively for the three rates, but a motion would probably get us started. No. Okay, so, I'll remind you, what is before us? 3.5%. 4% and 9% is what we're looking at for the rates. And again, I'll remind the audience, particularly this starts, the rates actually go into effect January 1st of 2019 and 2020. So there we are.
What you're doing is deliberating on what you're going to recommend to the council.
That's it. That is our deliberation. So our recommendation then goes to City Council, and I believe that's on April 2nd. So that is it. So we are not the final determining body, that is the City Council. But these are our recommendations. So, Bill.
I move that we send on to the City Council our recommendation for a 3.5%, 4%, and 9% increase for water, wastewater, and stormwater.
Do I hear a second? Sarah seconds. All right, discussion.
Chair, missed the motion. Could you just clarify, Bill, was your motion for water, sewer, and storm?
Yep, for all three.
Okay. Might I suggest that you could craft your motion in such a way that includes the TUF, which is part of the public notice.
All right, okay.
And essentially, that public notice did say no adjustments to that TUF, so you would want to, you know, include that in your recommendation.
Okay.
So that would be probably a more complete process on that.
Okay. Would you like to amend your motion, Bill?
I'm happy to amend my motion to include a 4% increase for water, 3.5% for sewer, 9% for storm, and no increase for TUF. As our recommendation to the City Council.
Okay. And would you like to second that, Sarah?
Sarah Greider, I continue to second.
Perfect. All right. Now, any further discussion? Someone can call for the question, and we can move right to a vote if you are so inclined.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Holly Bradford, call for the question so we can move to vote.
Okay. All right. With that, all in favor of the motion as presented by Bill and seconded by Sarah, indicate by saying aye. Aye. Opposed?
No.
And no from Nick. Otherwise, the motion passes. And I think that is it for our duties as assigned. Is that correct? Anything else? Anybody else? Comments for the good of the order? No? Okay. That is it. Otherwise, we will see you April 2nd. One question, who will be presenting? Will you all present, or who's going to present? You'll present, both of you two? Okay. All right. And you and the rest of us, I know you wouldn't want to miss it. Nick.
I just wanted to say one thing to the public that's here. Really, thank you for showing up. You're pretty much the only people we've seen this whole time here, so thank you for coming. I do want to urge you, please show up on April 2nd, because we here, we just send it to the council. They have the final say, and believe it or not, they do listen to the public testimony. They do take it into account. Whether or not they agree with it or vote your way, that's up to them. But we need people there to actually speak up and speak their minds and tell the council exactly what's going on in this community, because it's really difficult for just us to do that. We need the people to come in and talk. So I urge you to show up April 2nd.
All right, and I will just say thank you to you all for this. Again, your giving of your evenings, this is, like we said, the eighth meeting. And for some of you, we've been on this for a number of years, so thank you. It's the way that democracy works, right? So thank you all, and thank you all for coming. We greatly appreciate it.